This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neesh and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinira Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kasalele and a warm welcome to all our Pompeii listeners in the Federated States of Micronesia, who are tuning in to Radio Australia for the very first time, but more importantly, who are tuning in to Neesh and Footy. We are pumped to have you with us, as this is the place where we highlight our Pacifica talent in the Rugby League and Rugby Union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and this week, my usual Cook Island co-host, Tinurau Arona, is not here. He is on his inaugural latte drinking business trip. So out with Arona, in with former NRL player, Joseph Sefapolo. Welcome back to Neesh and Footy, Sef.
Thanks, Sam. How's that feel, eh? Someone else on a business trip. But
it's usually me, isn't it?
It is. But it's my first time on a Friday Neesh and Footy, and I'm excited for today's show. Talofa lava to everyone out there. Today we'll be speaking to Totai Kefu, the great man, my roomie.
Roomie in Auckland, that's right.
In Auckland.
Unfit 23 or something, what's it called?
Match fit.
Oh, match fit, please.
But yes, we are retired and unfit, so you were right. And we speak to our very own Sala Tongatuki, fresh off Origin 1's victory last night. Did you catch that game, Sam?
I did. What an amazing start for the Blues. Came out the blocks fast, and I can't wait to get her insights. I know she would have loved to have get more game time, but yeah, she was on when she came on and made an impact straight away.
Play to Manselman. Open side right to Brigginshaw. Short ball away to Lauren Brown. Slam to the ground in the end there. The tackle coming from Tongatuki. He's just come onto the field for the first time.
Yeah, she comes on, makes a massive impact. Big hit. Didn't get onto a bit later on in the game. And I don't know if you heard last week or the week before episodes where she loves to watch Criminal Minds type of shows before she plays.
Oh,
so
wow.
Gets into that psychopathic mindset. And she's just come out the blocks. And, as we said, just wanted to get into the Maroons players.
Yeah, you know what it's like once you cross that white line.
Hey, you flick the switch.
And this week, Sam, I'm in charge of Tinerell's tipping, so look
Please
out.
Get it wrong. Please get it wrong.
Just pay
Hi,
me.
Hi, I'm Yasmin Clydesdale, and you're listening to Neesh and Footy.
Yes, Seth, Yasmin Clydesdale, what a game she had.
Wow. Oh,
mate, she was outstanding, player of the match. We'll go through her stats, but there's plenty of news around the grounds in NRL. Last night's game, historic first State of Origin, Game 3 series, over 25,000 people.
Historic match.
I think last year was
attendance.
Yeah, last year was about 18,000.
Yeah,
18,000.
I like to highlight that, Sam, as you said, a record attendance, because I was looking over the social media, the comments regarding the match. Wow, people were just loving the game. And obviously the spectacle is amazing, but the growth of the women's game has just gone to another level.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I think when we look at the game being a standalone as well, first game of the Magic Round weekend with all the NRL teams up there, and the Origin kicked it off with a bang.
Bang.
And people showed up. So there was no men's game after it. And any of that narrative where they were saying, oh, you know, they showed up because there was a game after it. No, it was standalone. And it was outstanding from both teams. The skill level, the intensity, everything was up. And the crowd were into it.
Mate, what a start from the Blues. A blistering start. They literally just came out of the blocks. There was talk about an 8-week camp might have an effect because the Queensland girls were playing every week in a Queensland competition up there. But you could notice with their energy and the way they came out after those line breaks from Jamie Chapman and then our very own Yasmin Clydesdale's break as she set the tone for the match.
It's with Baxter, fires it on to, here's a break, coming up over the 40-metre line to their left this time, through the second rower, Clearsman Clydesdale, up and to beat, Clydesdale still going, across comes cover, and she's caught only 3 metres out, Blues have to go right and they'll score for sure, Higgins gets it away to Pearson, cut out pass, a shocker, Surges had to go down and pick it up and take it off a worm.
Had to take it off a worm.
The wormhole.
Oh, mate. Well, as we mentioned, Yasmin Clydesdale, Tongan heritage, she was outstanding. 70 minutes on the left edge, one line break, three tackle breaks, 24 tackles, 163 run meters, 49 wow. post-contact meters, and player of the match. Like, you couldn't ask for anything more from a player. And she was in everything out there, and she just did it 100 miles an hour.
She was physical in her defense. Everyone that ran her way, she just really dipped and drove into every girl. It felt like she was on a mission, and she definitely set the tone for her team and showed them the way to go forward. Like, maybe with all her experience through the NRLW, her leadership at the Knights, I was really impressed with her performance. And it's cool, like, we're talking about Yasmin, because I played with her husband.
Oh, wow.
Like, a few years ago, and then it was like the other side. She was coming to watch us, but now I see Adam Clydesdale supporting his wife, going to the games. I've seen him in Old Trafford for the final, for the Gillaroos over there. So it's awesome to see her growth and her development. But another one I want to highlight is Fetu Samoa representative, Talia Fuimaono. I've never seen her play much, but I don't know if she's a dummy half or a half or a 5'8", but her service, the way she was delivering those balls to her forwards and getting her halves on the front foot, I really enjoyed watching her play. And like all good hookers, they're pushing through the middle, and she made that, obviously, that line break through the middle.
Yeah, that was cool, Seth. You know, as you said, Yasmin used to come and watch you and her partner play on the big stage as well. And she didn't actually start playing contact sports till she was about 22.
Wow.
And then you talk about her physical presence. I don't know if she's been tackling the husband out on the farm. But
yeah, I think Adam's running away.
So, yes, it just goes to show that all the watching you guys on the big stage, she's obviously absorbed that information and transferred that into her own performance, because she's won 3 premierships as well.
Wow.
She's been a Daily M second row of the year. Outstanding performance. But you're right about Fuimaono as well. Just her service in the middle, it was crisp. And as you said, you know, when you're sneaking up on the middle to receive any ball on the inside, she was a bit on a treadmill. I'm not going to lie. Maybe her speed is her only downfall. But I'm sure that they'll take a lot of confidence moving into game 2 in a few weeks' time.
For sure. It would have hurt last year, the 1-1 in the State of Origin. So they obviously took it personally, and they wanted to get a good start this year, and what a start it was.
Yeah, well, we'll hear more from Sulla Tongatuki about State of Origin and get more of an in-depth conversation on that. But we mentioned Magic Round. It is this weekend. Seth, in your playing career, I think you had about 231 NRL games. Did you play Magic Round? Was that a round when you were there?
Thanks, Sam. It was 170, but I appreciate the little bump up.
Yeah, geez, T bit of tax, inflation.
You got to bump it up. Everything's
rising. Or was it 231 in total?
Yeah, maybe career games.
Career games, sorry.
But yeah, no experience in the NRL. It wasn't around the concept, Magic Round. But when I played in the Super League, you might have heard of Anfield.
It's Anfield?
Liverpool Football Club.
What do they play?
In the Premier League. You never walk
never
alone.
Walk alone.
Well, we
Is
had
that a, where Magic Round was over there?
Yeah, we played in England. I played 2 of them, actually. One at Anfield. Amazing experience. Never got the NRL experience, but over there, they obviously came up with the concept, the Magic Round, and then played at Newcastle at St. James Park. Another great experience. Pubs all around. Just could feel the vibe with the bus driving into the obviously the stadium. You could see fans everywhere. Everyone had their signs, their jerseys. It was just a great, like, a weekend of celebrating rugby league.
Well, it seems that, like, that's exactly what's happening in Brisbane. All the fans are getting around the games, jerseys, doesn't matter who they're playing for. They're just excited that there's every single NRL game is up in Brisbane for Magic Round. Your 2 games.
This week, I'm looking at Friday night's match between Brisbane and Manly. I'm excited to see Tolu Kola, who will be starting at fullback with Trbojevic out this week. If you look at the Manly backline, they're filled with Pacific representation.
There's a lot of Asian talent there, isn't there?
And I've actually enjoyed watching Tommy Talau, Samoan. I played with his father, Willie Talau, who was a Super League legend at St. Helens and Bulldogs legend. But his development over time, Tommy, from being that young guy at the Tigers who was known as the next prodigy to now just knowing his role and enjoying that, playing on the wing and just doing a good job for Manly. And exciting times for centre Bronco. The centre, he got the late call up this week with Reece Walsh out. Josiah Karapani making his debut. He started in Auckland, was close to debuting at Souths, but then got an illness that put him out. So he's obviously had to wait his time. He's NRL ready, but he gets his debut this week. So I'll be looking forward to watching him play. The next match I'll be looking at is the Sydney Roosters versus Cronulla Sharks on Saturday.
Oh, your old Sharkies. The old Sharkies.
The two form teams of the NRL, obviously. Roosters demolished the Warriors last week, and the Sharkies came up with a great victory down in Melbourne at Amy Park. I spoke to you on Monday about that rivalry. So this clash is pretty much, I feel, is 1-2. And I'm looking forward to Cook Island's favourite son, Kyle Iroh, in the centre versus...
Yep. We had Kyle on not long ago, actually. Spoke very well in his Cook Island upbringing.
Having no boots.
No boots, exactly. Oh, you listened to the show. Yeah, so nice.
Mate, tune in. But yeah, enjoying his development too. You could see how much the Sharks have relied on his carries. He's leading the carries for the Cronulla Sharks. And Joseph Swali'i, with his dynamic play and explosiveness around the ruck. I think that battle between those two young giants will be awesome. But the real battle I'm looking forward to, which might come not at the start of the match, but in the middle of the game, it's the impact. I made a career of coming off the bench and trying to make an impact. But, mate.
The number 17 jersey. Sonny Bill did the same.
Sonny Bill, Dean Withers. Oh, a few subs. But last week, Cronulla's bench, wow, they made an impact. Royce Hunt, Samoan, Tongan Juggernauts, Tuku Hautapua, and Siosifa Talakai. Mate, they were the difference last week. And they're up against this Samoan peril, Spencer Linu and Terrell May, who are all just about to clash, where you feel like when you see those highlights of NRL, you'd expect these five guys going at it, you know. And with Spencer Linu and Terrell May pressing for Origin, and it's only 2 weeks away, it's exciting time for those boys to really show.
Well, Spencer, this is his first game back since obviously the incident that happened
his second.
In round one.
He played last week.
Oh, he played last week. Yeah.
That was his first game.
Sorry, mate. Obviously, I didn't watch last week's game. But anyway, he's going to make a big impact. Well, let's move on from the Roosters. From the on-field stuff, this goes to the off-field with the Roosters. Backflip. How good are your backflips? Done it before?
I go all right, you know.
Yeah, I've done a few myself, mate. I've done a few myself. So I'm not here to throw stones at David Fifita at all. But, Bondi were cheering. That they thought they got their man to help with that impact that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if all three of them were together there?
Wow.
Stop it.
Bondi rescue ready. They thought they had their man.
They thought. But,
they were showing David Fifita, icebergs, and you know, Nick Politis never misses, they say.
He never misses.
He always gets his man.
Do you know who didn't miss? Was our man, Tinira Arona. We were the only outlet to probably say alleged, hasn't been confirmed. Whereas every other one was saying, no, it's a hundy.
100%.
But T, he had the inside mail.
Hey, you never doubt T, mate. He's got his facts above board, mate. He's decided to stay at the Gold Coast Titans, and that circus will continue with other players off contract this year.
That's just rugby league. That's what makes it rugby league. Yeah, when you think you know, you actually don't. But, hey, we wish him all the best to stay at the Titans. They need him, so they've got their man, and hopefully they can attract more players to help, you know, lift them up to new heights compared to the last few years. But, and remember, you can hear every NRL game this week in Magic Round, each week live on ABC Radio Australia. And we're going to move over to Super Rugby News. Again, there's not as much news as as rugby league. I say that every week.
Have you got a shovel? Because I've got to go dig it, mate.
Mate, dig it. Find something. We're flying rugby union over here. Super Rugby Pacific.
Last time I was on the show, you were putting coaching candidates on LinkedIn. So you've definitely come a long way.
And look who we got. We got Joe Schmidt, one of the best in the world, mate. Look, LinkedIn post work.
LinkedIn, mate.
It's the lay of the land now. You've put it out on social media. Hey, I just want to talk a little bit about this week. So we mentioned Ponefa Mosili was on loan from the Rebels to the Waratahs. That was short-lived. He had a great game off the bench, and now he's back to the Rebels. So that's a blow for the Waratahs because it seems like they are without a fully contracted prop at the moment. All of them are out injured.
And how important are props? I feel like they don't get
recognition that they deserve. You're right. They get a lot of love overseas.
Of course.
And that's why they all go over there.
And I wouldn't blame them for jumping on that plane and feeling the love because with the cauliflower ears.
There's a lot to love about the big man.
The shoulders. Yeah. Like, it's tough, mate.
Well, you know, big Ben Domiafuna, the Tongan prop, 148 kilos. He's like a Nathan Cleary over in France. Yeah. You know, that's how well known he is. But so he'll head back to the Rebels. But I just want to talk a little bit about finals footy, and it'll be good to get Big Dota Kefu's insights and thoughts on the finals format. You know, Super Rugby Pacific chairman Kevin Molloy, yeah, he came out and said the credibility of the current format of finals series is probably it's probably right to be questioned, because as it is right now, it's the top eight.
Yep.
The Crusaders are coming second last. There's only three games left. So that's a 25% winning record this year. And they still have a mathematical chance of making the quarterfinals.
Yeah, it's crazy to think. And how many teams in the Super Rugby? Is it 12
still?
Yeah,
12. Yeah, 12 teams. And
so 80% of the teams are in finals. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. It's not 80.
Oh, 73.333%, mate.
Is it? There you go. Well, I'll leave that one with you. But anyway, it's I feel like final series has always been a bit of an issue with Super Rugby. You know, when it was Super 12 and Super 14, it was top four, 2 weeks, and you're in. Winner goes through, loser is out the back door, and you pretty much, if you lost your first five games, which that happened to me a lot, your season was already done. So you're planning for other things after the season, your holidays and all that.
I'm not celebrating.
And then when it went to Super 15, we had New Zealand teams. It was a conference system, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and you had New Zealand teams finish the regular season with, you know, more wins or the same wins but more points than the Australian or the South African teams. But because if you just won your conference, you automatically were ranked higher in the final series. So that was a bit ridiculous as well. And, you know, with the Melbourne Rebels' future at the moment, it's not looking great. And again, the chairman has said that they're preparing for both a 12 and 11-team competition, but most likely an 11-team comp. Like, what does that look like? What, three teams miss out on the finals? So what's that, 100% chance? With our math at the moment. No, but look,
when you say eight teams, it's like you don't reward the teams that have been consistent through
the
year.
Exactly.
Like, I think about the Premier League. They have a strict system where it's just if you finish first at the end of the year, that's who comes out on top.
Oh, so you reckon first past the post?
Well, like, I
would be a better format for Super.
I don't know about Super, but like having those ideas of, because I feel like the Pacific teams are disadvantaged already because they don't have the same sort of resources. So that's probably why we can't do that in Premier League, the Premier League system.
As in, like, to make promotion relegation and all that stuff. Yeah, you're not wrong.
It pushes, like we were talking about, if you're top eight, you already feel like you're going to make the finals. You'd be going last 3 weeks, like, boys, I think we're in. We just win the next game, we should be in the finals. So
you still have something to play for.
Like, it keeps it interesting for those teams at the bottom and the teams at the top. So
yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'm not too sure where it heads, but it'll be interesting where that goes, especially for next year if it does go to 11-team competition. Mate, there's a lot of questions, but not too many answers in the rugby union. So I just threw a bunch out there for us to ponder on, really. But in some good news as well, in the rugby sevens, the Olympics, the referees have been announced, and two Fijians have made the cut that will go and referee over in Paris for the Olympic Games. For the men's, we've got Devita Roko Vereeni, and women's, Lavinia Radhava. And we had Lavinia on not that long ago.
Yeah.
First ever female ref to referee a professional game on a professional circuit for the sevens tournament. Yes. So,
and so they should. Fiji have been the dominant team for the last 15, 20 years in the sevens. So to have someone that's representing them, not as only as a player that plays on the big stage, but the referees. So.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And just on the performances, you know, they have been in a bit of a rough patch to the men's sevens team. So hopefully they can turn things around for the Olympics, which is just around the corner. But yeah, congratulations to both Devita and Lavinia. go well over there. And we look forward to covering the sevens as it comes through for the Olympics. But that's enough of us. We've had our 2 cents, and let's just go straight to our experts to give us a bit more of an in-depth chat. And first up, I'm excited. She's kindly given up her time, recovery early to come and give us an exclusive on Nation Footy, Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Fetu Samoa, New South Wales origin and NRLW superstar premiership winner of the Roosters, Tigers best and fairest, and last night's winner of Game 1 State of Origin for the Women's Rugby League, Sala Tongatuki. Let's dial her in.
You have reached the message.
Sorry?
0479.
Well, may as well leave her a voicemail. Sala, if you... If you get this voice message, please answer. You're on Nation Footy for your segment.
Sala, well, you had a commitment to us after the game. But if you're still in celebrations, I know she did take a bus of family up there, Sam. So maybe the family and supporters are just having a few quiet ones.
Oh, well, no, ultimate professional. They're not worried about celebrating.
I was talking about coffee this morning.
Yeah, celebrating with coffee.
A sip of coffee this morning.
I guess... Obviously, Sala won't be with us, recovering, getting ready for game 2 to wrap up the series. But look, I would have loved to have just spoken to her about what it was like coming off the bench, like the atmosphere, especially because she came on later in the game. You ever had that experience, Seth, when you're coming off the bench and the trainer just goes, yeah, warm up, and you go, leave me alone, I'm warm, get me on.
It's always hard because when you start your process – because you don't actually even warm up when you know you come off the bench. You sort of start later. So when the boys are obviously before the game, they're warming up and they're like saying, like, just take it easy. You'll start to get warm probably around the 10-minute mark when we'll start getting you ready for the match. So at that time, you're sort of preparing yourself. You're getting focused. You're watching, trying to follow the momentum of the game and see how you can inject or make an impact. But if it's after the first half, then you start like going into like, oh,
come on, mate.
Come on.
You're looking up at the coach's box, aren't you? Like, get on the radio.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell him to get me on.
Tell him I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready to go. So I feel like those questions, if you don't come on in the first half and then the first 10 of the second, then that's when you start questioning, oh, man, like, what kind of role am I going to play today? Because I know I'm warm. I know I'm ready. I've done everything I can to prepare for this match, but, yeah. You sometimes just got to sit there and stay focused.
She only got about 5 minutes. And I know in my own experience, sometimes a coach will go in with a plan and say, you're only going to get this amount of time. You'll come at this minute. But usually it all went out the window anyway, because it's very hard to, stick to that during a game when anything can happen. But what's it like in rugby league and planning out your minutes?
So before the game, every coach has their plan. They'll be like, hey, oh, we'll say Seth, like for myself, you come on about the 25 to 30 mark. We'll keep you out there for the last 10, 15 minutes. And then the second half, I'll give you the first 10 and see how the game's going. I might keep you on for the rest of the match, or I'll bring you off and then bring you on back for the last 10 of the second half. So I don't know what was spoken to Sala. I know it would have been tough for her. But again, we've got to think she's coming back from injury. She obviously hasn't had the match fitness and the games to really prove herself, but whatever she's done over these last 8 weeks has shown the coach that she's ready, and that's why I sort of say this in a sense of like she should be still proud of, you're playing for Origin, you're playing for your state, you bleed blue, and you've had to overcome the last 12 months over a challenge of injury. So it's been amazing, and I'm sure as the series goes on we're going to see more of Sala. But it was always nice to just see her out there and make an impact on the match.
Oh, absolutely. You're not wrong at all with all those points. Do you think as well, knowing that there's no game for them for another few weeks, they don't go back and play club footy, is that a reason why probably we saw a lot of the players stay out there just that fraction longer, because knowing full well they're not saving anything for the week after?
Yeah, for sure. And like there was a lot of questioning around, are the New South Wales team going to be prepared? Because they're not playing games week in, week out compared to the Queensland girls. So you could see from the energy from the start, they were actually like, maybe it's mentally. We always talk about we do the physical part. We do our preparation on all our body. We obviously can massage, pull, but the mental side, having that feeling in your head where you just relax, you're open, and you've just been like sort of dialed in for this one game. It maybe had an impact on Queensland, who were focusing on other games. They were training all the time. Then they were probably getting niggles during the week from their matches. So that had an effect on how they turned up last night. But like, full credit to New South Wales, man. They just were on a mission and they were so exciting.
No, I love that. That narrowed focus, that's all they had to worry about for 7 weeks. We saw Tiana Pinatani. She was up there with over 6 kilometres throughout the game. Yep. So she was outstanding as well. But you look, hopefully we get to talk to Sulla next week and get those insights. But Sulla, hopefully you're resting up well and we get to chat to you next week.
Recipe of the week.
Yes, we have our recipe of the week. And this week I've actually thrown our main man here, Seth Apollo, under the bus to bring one in last minute, last night. Bro, what have you got for us?
Oh, Sam, you've put me under the pump. I did ask for Bungie Bopo, but we're not going to go there this week. We're going to go. I know that's one of the favourites, but today I'm going to talk about Bai Fala.
Bai Fala. You're buying a mat.
Pineapple pie.
Okay.
My mum's specialty, but I tell her that. You said, Mum, Sam thought I was buying a mat. But today we're going to talk about the Bai Fala. It's one of our specialties in our family, my mum's favourite. We can only have it on a Sunday after church, so we had to go church first before we can dig into the Bai Fala. So obviously, have your lunch, obviously church, lunch, and then your Bai Fala's there. But the Bai Fala recipe, something I've never made, but my mum always makes.
Never made, but always eating.
Yeah, always eating.
Rip always into good. It. Let us know.
So you have the custard first, and then you have to cool it for the pastry. So as you're cooling it with the pastry is what makes the delicacy even better. That's strictly from the chef's mouth, my mum. The ingredients are pineapple crushed tin, custard powder, sugar, and milk. Was that too quick?
No, that's it. That's good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the pastry, as you're mixing it, is butter, sugar, eggs, and your standard self-raisin flour. So as you're preparing the pastry, because as you add, as we love, our dried coconut and cornflakes to the self.
Cornflakes?
Cornflakes.
You put cornflakes in it?
Yeah, to the pastry.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Not just for breakfast, mate.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. No, keep on rolling.
Keep on rolling. This is from, you know, my mother's mouth. And then as you add the cornflakes to the self-raising flour, it raises. And then you bring in the wet ingredients with the butter, sugar, and eggs. It's like a, you know, like a cheesecake dried ingredient, and it's really nice. It's harder to explain, like taking a beautiful photo of a beautiful mountain and clouds in the background. You know what it's like. The photo does it no justice. I hope I've done this justice explaining the Bai Fala. But yes, it is a favorite in our household and my mum's favorite recipe.
Yeah, well, nice. Well, you've said you eat it after church. You said it's your mum's favorite recipe.
But you've stayed at my house and you haven't had it.
Okay.
But next time you come.
Oh, well, we might have to try it and I'll let you know how it goes. I'll try that with the bat soup. I think that will go really well together. So that's the third week in a row we've run the bat soup. But Seth, thank you so much for your recipe. And speaking of Bunny Popo, I might bring that in next week.
Yes.
And see how we go. But let's get over to the great man, Dottai Kefu.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Tottai Kefu!
With Tottai Kefu.
Yes, joining us every week to chat all things Rugby Union is the Wallaby and Queensland Reds legend, former Ikaletahi legend and coach as well. Tottai Kefu, welcome to the show, bro. Good to have you back.
Always a pleasure to come on to your show, Wikesy.
It's our show, Kef. It's our show. Look, I'm going to lead in with a bit of a question to introduce our new host or fill-in host, who I believe you know. And we're going to talk about the Fijian Drua, their tour, their two-week tour, and how they started fast the first week against the Brumbies. And they've had a bit of a week in Perth. They got there before the Western Force. I just want to get with your experience coaching Pacifica players, like how to get that balance right between, you know, the training, the downtime, the nice hotels, the buffet, because I know you're the best tourist. You're the best tourist going around, but you knew how to manage that right. Paulo, Seth?
Yep.
Can you attest to the fact that he's the best tourist?
I've only had two nights with the great Totai in Auckland. We had the Match Fit Legends game, and, you know, I wouldn't testify to his diet on that trip, but, you know, he maintained those disciplines as a professional. But good to see you, Rumi. But, yeah, as Sam was saying about – as Sam was saying, you know, it can be a challenge. You don't want the trainer standing over at the buffet or – standing at the entrance of the hotel, who's going in and out. Mate, why are you ordering Uber Eats when we got food here? So we're talking about professionalism and just how flat they were the last few weeks.
I've always gone by a healthy body is a happy body is a healthy body.
So is that what you live by? So you didn't worry about the health? Is this if my body's happy?
Yeah, no, I was horrible compared to the boys these days. And I understand the need for eating well. And I eat much better now than I did when I was playing footy. But, yeah, we transitioned from that unprofessional into professional. So professional went 96. And I played a couple of Queensland games already in 95. It took a fair while for us to really grasp that professionalism around, preparation, nutrition, recovery, all that kind of stuff. And back then it was a massive drinking culture, drinking after games, you drink for days. I certainly don't condone that now as a coach. I've had a massive mindset shift compared to those days. But hey, those days we had a lot more fun, I reckon.
Mate, you're not wrong. Mate, some of the stories I heard about you, Kev, mate. I'm joking. But just on that, like just going back to the Drua, and as I mentioned, like usually they're fizzing like a Coke can out there, but they were flat. And when we talk about probably 90% of their team are from the villages in Fiji, do you think them... That performance last week against the Force was something that you could put down towards the, you know, touring and living a different lifestyle for that week of preparation?
Yeah, look, really good question, Wikesy. They were horrible. Take nothing away from the Force. They were awesome, probably one of the best defensive games they've played. Look, I've always had to really balance that, especially being away from home and the boys on the road. And the most that we would ever be on the road would be probably 8 weeks during a World Cup campaign. And we definitely had to really make sure that we balanced out the work, rest and play part because, you know, our boys, they're homely. At the end of the day, they're homely people. They miss their families. A lot of them have young kids. They miss their kids. We would, if we were away for long periods of time, and we could get the families in for lunches, dinners, we'd certainly try and do that. There's obviously a financial factor behind that. But we would always try and include the families as much as possible whenever we were on the road. And definitely after games, we'd bring families in to enjoy a meal with us. Even brothers, fathers, we would have a carver session after games. We'd bring them in. So we'd do all those type of things just to so they're all still connected to the family and to connected back home. Because, as you said, it can get quite lonely at home. It's funny, actually, you mentioned that because I went to look back through the Drua home and away record this year, and they certainly they're a different team at home than when they're a different team away. So disappointing for Drua because really that game in Force against the Force, if they won that, it could have set them up in the top eight because they've got a much easier home a run home than some of the other teams around them.
Yeah, well, it's funny you mentioned, I guess, that top eight. They've got two games in Fiji where they can cement their spot there. But we were chatting earlier actually about the series and the final series format in Super Rugby. You know, when there was Super 12 and Super 14, it was top four, final series over within 2 weeks, and they went to a conference system, and it was a bit how you going as well on that, because all you had to do was win your conference and you went through, and it wasn't really a genuine system because Australian teams would probably finish higher because of the conference compared to New Zealand, who would finish on more points, but they would, you know, wouldn't rank as high in the final system. Now it's a top eight. Crusaders with a 25% winning streak still have a mathematical chance of making it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of Super Rugby finals and the system, especially moving forward next year with the Rebels unlikely going to be? Then it goes to 11 teams.
Yeah, look, I'm a traditionalist. I'm in favour of the old school top four, semi final, then a final. Even if you went major final, major semis, minor semis. And then the team that wins that has a rest, and then the loser of the top two play the winner of the three and four. I'm a big fan of that, and I like just keeping things simple. This top eight, I'm not a fan of it, but it does. You do get the better. You do group the better teams for a little bit more of the season, but. Yeah, I've always been a traditionalist. Top four, get it over and done with. Move on to the international series.
It is a bit like that, isn't it? Moana Pacifica, they are up against the Hurricanes this week. Julian Savea returns to the Hurricanes in Wellington, not as a player, but opposite player this week. What have you made of, I guess, Moana Pacifica, especially moving forward into, I guess, next seasons as well?
Yeah, look, they got another tough game this week against the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes have made a host of changes. They haven't got their strongest team, so they're giving their squad a bit of a run. Moana did that last week against the Chiefs, and the Chiefs, fair and square, handed them a bit of a 40-point. I wouldn't say it was a shellacking, but they won easily in the end. Moana have got their best team, I feel, on the park this week, but... Look, they've got a tough road home. I can't see them beating the Hurricanes. I don't know. I think with the whole Moana program, I think it's a great program and they've got to persist with it. I think they should split the two countries, Samoa and Tonga, and have their own team, very much like the Drua. And I know there's some financial implications behind that, but... Look, World Rugby have got this treasure chest and they've got so much money and they bankrolled a Fijian team in the, was it the
ARC?
Yeah, so I know World Rugby bankrolled that Fijian team. They bankrolled Fiji Drua initially. I'm not too sure how much they still invest in the team, but... World Rugby can certainly put some money away for a Samoan team or even a Tongan team that can have their own identity, their own team. I think eventually it's going to benefit both pathways for Samoa and Tonga. Look, if Moana keep persisting as a team on their own, I think they're only going to get better. I mean, you just look at and we've talked about this in the past. If you look at their performances, they've won more games already this year than last year. They're getting better every year. The players individually and as a whole, as a team, they're getting better. The same old issues, I think, when you watch Moana play, and the same exact same thing happened against the Chiefs. It's just little mistakes, execution, that's letting them down, some silly little penalties, silly things like not straight throwing the ball in the line out, not able to kick it out on penalties, kicking it out on the full on kickoffs, like just simple things like that, I think is just haunting them each week. But you definitely can't deny their effort, the passion and their heart that they play with. Is always up there every week. So, look, I think if they keep persisting, it's going to be a better team each week.
For sure. Hey, Rumi, you talked about the fundamentals of not having the line out straight. Obviously, silly penalties. As a coach, you'd say it's a coach killer. And I guess that's what separates the Blues. They've been the form team this year. They beat the Hurricanes last week. Would you say they're the favourites for the title right now?
Yeah, definitely. Look, I think those three teams, you throw in the Chiefs, I think they're the three teams to beat. And then you've got the Brumbies to round out the top four. They've been the best four teams all year, but the Blues have been outstanding. Vern Cotter has come along. This is his first year too, Vern. Unbelievable, really good coach. He's done some wonders with that team. They've played a real physical, direct brand of rugby that's a little bit of old school, and that's what Vern Cotter is. You know, he's a little bit of an old school coach, and I love that approach. And he's had to curb. I reckon he's had to curb his coaching style over the last 3 to 5 years. But he's done a wonderful job there. They've only had the one loss all year. But certainly them and the Hurricanes have been the best team this year.
Yeah, I really love the way the Blues are playing. You're right, there is a little bit of old school, just being direct and actually just winning the game line, winning that contact battle, and then earning the right to shift it with their strike power. When Caleb Clark, you know, when he gets ball in space, he's doing some damage out on that wing. But what about your Reds? They're up against the Drua this week in Suva. This time last year, it was Brad Thorne's last game, and, you know, the Drua, they just lifted up another gear and put the Reds away. But they're in a different position this time around. The mindset shift that Les Kiss has made for the Reds, they look like they're in a good spot.
Yeah, look, they're just outside the top four, and they're definitely going to make the top eight. There's no doubt about it. I'm pretty sure on their run home they can win one or two games. This game against the Drua, I don't think they can win this game. I think the Drua will just be too strong for them at home. Midday Suva, hottest part of the day. They'll probably turn the heaters on as well. But the Reds, I'm disappointed to see the Reds team. Like, Les Kiss named a rotated his team for this game. And, you know, I think they're probably taking it a bit lightly. I think maybe he's adopted a rotation policy for the whole year, Les Kiss. And I'm old school. I disagree with that. You know, I'm a best team every week in, week out. If someone gets injured, oh well, next one in. That's my selection philosophy anyway. But look, he's rotated a few players in. He's given a few players their first run on. There's a few debutants on the bench. I think they'll still be able to throw some punches, but I think Drua, they need to win this game. They've got an okay run home, two home games that they should be able to win. They'll be desperate, and they'll put out a really good performance, I think, this week.
I know, as you said, you're old school and you want your best team on the park every single time. When you have those coaches' meetings around rotation, managing fatigue and travel for, you know, to put on the – and especially they're looking towards finals footy. Are they tough debates when you're going back and forward on who should be rested, who and focusing one game at a time as opposed to, no, we need them for final series?
Yeah, they are. They are because, you know, you're debating with not only with your coaches, you're debating with medical staff, you're debating with all those types of influences around the team. Even the players these days, the buzzword is loading at the moment, and a lot of teams now who have medical staff who, you know, think players should rest it. I don't know if you watch the NBA series, but they're going through this loading kind of thing, resting players. And I've just never been a fan of resting, you know, your best players. If you're, I mean, this is your job. You're getting paid hundreds and thousands of dollars. If you're right to play, you play, you know. And I never take the future for granted. Tomorrow's not always gifted. So I always live for today. And if I got my best players playing Now, if there's a little bit of an injury or they're carrying something, okay, I would consider resting them. But, mate, if you're right to play, you're playing.
Yeah, I love that. I'm a big fan of what you're saying as well. And you manage throughout the week the loading, your rest time throughout the week with their training load, their massages, ice baths and recovery. Not the game that actually matters for the 80 minutes. That's where you want your best all the time. Moving forward to the Rebels, we spoke earlier about the chairman for Super Rugby Pacific has come out and said it's most likely going to be an 11-team competition. They're planning for both, whether it's going to be 12 or 11, but Rugby Australia still haven't made a decision yet, but he's saying it's likely going to be an 11-team competition. You know, they're coming six at the moment. Like, have they surprised you about how well they've gone with all the distractions that's been happening?
Bloody oath. I gave them no chance at the start of the year. I think I mentioned this earlier, way back, you know, maybe a month ago. I don't know how those players could play with a heap of uncertainty hanging over the top of their heads in terms of their future, you know, contracting, when, you know, where the next meal's coming from. Those thoughts going through your mind when you're preparing for a game and playing a game are bloody very distracting, you know, especially when if you've got young kids and your wife's in your ear about, you know, when her next, where's she going to buy her next Prada handbag? Mate, you know, they've done unbelievably well. Like, they're going to make the top eight. And they've got some quality players, and they've put some really good performances on this year. They could shock a few teams, maybe make the semis, but all they have to do is make those finals, and anything can happen in the finals, anything. So, you know, if you're coming up against the Rebels, I'd watch out. And I've got total respect for what they've done this year.
Well, Kev, always appreciate your time, your insights, especially your touring stories and how professional you were off the field. And that's why you became a legend. So do with that information as you must to all our listeners.
But, and a bloody good roomie, hey?
Yeah, mate. I need to borrow that VIP card.
Mate, only thing he pays for is petrol, this bloke. Everything else is for free. But anyway, Kev, we'll see you next week. We really appreciate your time. Take care.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, boys. Good seeing you, roomie.
Cheers,
good
mate.
See you, mate.
Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
You wouldn't believe it. I forgot to mention it at the top of the show because it should have been right at the top, a priority to say that Professor Paulo is actually in studio. And so, sorry, mate. Is he doing the question, is he?
Yeah. I've paid T this week.
You've paid T.
So there's help already, me out. There's already.
He doesn't need any help. So just on Professor Paulo, while you're here, have you enjoyed sending through your questions? Because there's some times where in the background we can hear the kids are going, shh, shh, you know, and you tell them to be quiet, or you're on a train, you're somewhere. So is it hard to find a question and find a quiet place to record?
I was actually the beach. It was the waves, Sam. Sorry, I can't quiet the waves outside.
Oh, sorry, mate. It's hard looking at a $2 million view.
But no, I've actually enjoyed the process, obviously. It is hard because I don't want to favour a rugby union question towards you. I don't want a question to favour towards T or rugby league, but I try to keep it in the middle. And always good to learn about our athletes, our Pacific athletes, if it's about the Olympics or it's in football or NFL. So, yeah.
How long have you known T for compared to you've known me? Yeah, that's what I thought. So exactly. We've known each other since we were kids. And you want to...
A long time.
All right. Well, the score update, I am winning 5 to 3.5. So I've got no doubt.
Wow.
Sam. The person sending in that question is going to favour himself to try and close that gap. Yeah, let's rip in and just see where T's question goes.
Kia ora, men. How are we? Today, I have a who am I? I was born in 1989. Yes, the same age as me. I have represented four clubs in the NRL, the West Tigers, Penrith Panthers, Sydney Roosters, and the Newcastle Knights. I also captained my nation in the 2021 Rugby League World Cup. And my brother is an ex-rugby league professional, and my sister is a professional rugby union player. Who am I?
He's got us a beauty. And he said I should know this.
You should know this. Well, should you know it? Who did he say? 19. Sister played union?
His sister or brother?
Brother played rugby. Sister. Oh, Sam. Kevin Naguama.
That is correct. The great Kevin Naguama.
Yes.
So I've got that one
yes,
right.
Yes, yes.
One of your ex-teammates.
I am so happy.
Oh, Kev, one of my good mates better not be listening to this.
Yes.
I've let you down. He didn't say St. Helens, mate. That's why. Oh, what
I just
heck?
Remember. I just remember him in Tigers and Roosters colours.
Oh, and, T.
Thank you so much.
That hurts.
Seth, sorry about that, brother. Sorry, mate. T, but when did you... He's obviously an ex-teammate of yours, Kev.
Oh, Kev, you'd be disappointed. We played together at St. Helens.
Oh, really?
It was only 2 years ago. And his kids and his wife, we literally lived together, man. Oh.
And obviously, you know, Wes, you played against Wes.
Wes and then Noah and Sarah.
You saw Sarah on the show last week.
I just blanked. I was like.
That's pressure, mate. That's pressure. People
pressure
rise. In pressure Kevin. Situations. Oh. And obviously, you've crumbled, mate.
Far like your. Out. The cookie
like
crumble.
Your. What's your crumble pineapple thing called?
By Bala.
Bala. Bala. That's not the one. That's definitely not the one. Okay, perfect. Well, there we go. That's done. And let's just move on to our next one. Knockout Timpy comp.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Oh, Seth, he still can't believe he got it wrong. He's gone red. But this is our knockout tipping comp. We pick one team each week from the NRL and Super Rugby, and we can't pick them again. We're down to the last team in Super Rugby, and I'm not really excited about this one. So we've only one team left we can pick.
Last man standing.
We've got the Waratahs, who have got 12 million injuries, no contracted props. They're coming last.
They're tough to watch. I was at the game last week.
Oh, you were there. And
your very own Jake Gordon scored a brilliant
games
try.
This week. 100 yep. games Exciting. This week. Congrats. But nonetheless, they've still got some quality Indonesian players. Mark Nawanga Nitawase. Hopefully he can get some tries and get us that victory that we need for our tipping comp. And so that one's out of the way. I'm losing this one. T's up 17.
13
to me. So, rugby league, what are we doing here? Who's your tip for this week?
This week, I'll be going for the Newcastle Knights against the Titans.
Novocastrian, so you're going to stay local,
stay
home?
Stay local. It's close to home. I seen Tyson Frizzell on Monday. The hamstring's looking good. He's looking to obviously impress for Origin.
You dropped something over there. Just dropping names.
Mate, we're
names.
Just a tight community in Newcastle.
All right, so they're good to go?
They're good to go.
All right, well, I'm going to go the Raiders to get over my doggies. I didn't want to go against the Dogs, but I just...
Don't you live in the area, mate?
I do live in the area.
In
up
Canterbury?
The Dogs, but hey, I need to close that gap, and I think the Raiders will get it done. Rapana's back.
Oh, yes.
They had the bye last week.
Oh, they're fresh.
They're fresh. Well, that's our time up for another Nijan Footy Friday. Seth, it's been a pleasure to have you on. Hopefully, T can take another business trip so he can come back. But he'll be back with us next week. And remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
You.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.